Welcome to The Signal, our weekly tour through the hidden corners of Maryland's cultural landscape. I'm Andy Beanstock. A little later this hour on the program, you'll hear a journeyman jazz musician make the offhand remark, "Everything is cyclical." It's a fitting sentiment as we begin our program in a part of Baltimore that used to sparkle, and now, after decades of tarnish, it might just be starting to shine again. The Signal's Aaron Henkin brings us the story.
Well, my name is Todd Marcus. I'm a jazz musician, bass clarinetist and composer. I also am a community resident here in the Sandtown, Winchester, and Upton communities. I've relocated here and been here about 15 years now, and very involved with the work of Newborn Holistic Ministries, which is a community-based nonprofit trying to revive our neighborhood and meet unmet poverty-related issues in our community here.
We're going to listen to a song called Pennsylvania Avenue Hustle, an ode to this street. Talk about that song and the inspiration for it.
Well, for me, the inspiration was that when we started our work here at Pennsylvania Avenue at the intersection of Prestman Street, this whole intersection was completely vacant. All four corners, abandoned buildings and vacant lots, and it was a big open-air drug market. And so even today, our neighborhood and Pennsylvania Avenue is still struggling with the challenge of drugs, addiction, the drug sales. And so for me, there's still that hustle, quality of restlessness on Pennsylvania Avenue. We've made a lot of progress here at Newborn Holistic Ministries in reviving all these buildings, renovating all these buildings, turning the vacant lots into gardens and green spaces, getting fountains turned on, painting murals. But still, there's that tough street reality where there's this hustle, people trying to get by, whether it's selling DVDs or loose cigarettes. There's that hustle. So this composition, Pennsylvania Avenue Hustle, is a little bit of trying to capture that, put that into music, and it opens up with this slow kind of exposition, kind of like the quieter time of the nighttime still, and then as the sun comes up and things start getting moving, things start heating up with the composition.
Melvin Stubbs. When we were kids, my brother and we looked alike, so they called us Mike and Ike. All the different clubs and everything, Tijuana. You know, there were clubs all up and down here. I used to go to see all the shows at the Royal, the Duke Ellington and Count Basie and Fletcher Henderson and Cab Calloway, bands playing everywhere, musicians that didn't have to worry about work, plenty of work.
Yes, I'm Clyde William Harris, I'm affectionately called CW. For those who know me in the church as a spiritual leader, it's Elder CW Harris. Mm-hmm. We're on the corner of Prestman and Pennsylvania Avenue. Once was a corner where, you know, much prostitution, we had drug trafficking. And since 2000, we have been working on transforming this community. Most people who lived around during the time of the glory here on Pennsylvania Avenue are familiar with the Chitlin' Circuit. Pennsylvania Avenue was a part of the Chitlin' Circuit. Entertainers would go to a part at the Howard Theater in Washington, D.C. They would come here to the Royal Theater in Baltimore, Maryland, and they would go to the Apollo in New York. And those places of entertainment were called the Chitlin' Circuit. And all the African-American talent in the United States would be a part of that circuit. Marvin Gaye, James Brown, Stevie Wonder, all in on, Supremes, all in, on and on and on. Mm-hmm.
Are you a lifelong resident of this part of town? I mean, talk about your early days coming up and what life was like then.
Well, life to me was glorious because although we were an oppressed people, we were living in a ghetto, but the great thing that we had in this area was community. And we looked out for one another. But when the integration came, those of our talented people were able to leave the community and go elsewhere. And our community was left with people who could not defend themselves. And then the elements of drug abuse and those pushers and pimps and everything else came into our community. And then that was the beginning of its destruction, the closing down of Bethlehem Steel. That culminated into the destruction of our community. Mm-hmm.
And you say since the early 2000s, there's been a slow but steady turnaround, thanks to you and other folks who are out here making your presence known and making your influence known.
Yes, well, you think of the Enterprise Foundation, James Rouse. You think of CCDA, Christian Community Development Association, Habitat for Humanities, and all of us working together in our newborn holistic ministry. We got together for the common cause of ending poverty in this section of 21217.
And, you know, going up and down, I was just touring up a couple of blocks in either direction from the corner where we are right now, and it's kind of bustling. I mean, there's a lot of locally owned and operated businesses. Some places are shuttered, but some places are kind of popping. I mean, talk about the life on the blocks up and down Pennsylvania Avenue right now and just kind of what kind of a scene it is, what kind of enterprises are going on just out there day to day.
Well, I mentioned the Enterprise Foundation. Some of the new homes that you see on Pennsylvania Avenue are the Nehemiah Project, and James Rouse had a significant role in seeing to it that that come to fruition. And there are other organizations, Upton and Druid Heights. They're working to build buildings and revitalize the Sphinx Club, and we're having an African-American museum in this area. Hopefully we'll bring back the Royal Theater. It's a slow process, and we're here to stay, and we're here to fight to see to it that it happened. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you taking the time, and it was great meeting you.
It's certainly a pleasure meeting you, and thank you for this opportunity and space. Go Ravens. Go Orioles.
This fountain that was off for over 20 years. And as we were working on our intersection here and reclaiming all these different corners, first with the buildings and then the vacant lots, well, this was the last corner we turned our attention to because it was just vacant and there hadn't been anybody to really steward it. And so we were able to work with our city councilman, Bill Cole, and get this beautiful fountain turned on, and then added rose bushes on our own and trees. And you know, now it's this beautiful asset to our neighborhood. And you look across the street and see our murals and parks and everything. So it's an important transformation. Bringing life back into our area, too, because we had, for example, this past Saturday, a group called the No Boundaries Coalition held a block party here full of vitality and life, kind of like getting back to that history of what was so strong and vital about Pennsylvania Avenue back in the day. So we're here at the intersection of Pennsylvania Avenue and Pressman, and this is the headquarters for all of our work at Newborn Holistic Ministries and our two main programs. One is a recovery program for our ladies overcoming drug addiction called Martha's Place, and the other is our arts program called Jubilee Arts, and it offers alternatives to the violence and drugs in our community, and it includes arts classes in visual arts, ceramics, dance, you name it, and just try to address the problems of our neighborhood on the preventative and the responsive side of the equation.
And you've got a partner in here you want to introduce me to.
Yeah, I'd love to meet a couple of our people that are really working here with us full time and the soldiers in the front line of these changes in our neighborhood.
All right, let's go say hi.
The first floor space is a multi-purpose space where we have our dance classes, we have cultural events, we've had jazz concerts. This has been a chance for me to insert my music side of my life by bringing some jazz concerts back here. We've also had some hip-hop performances. So these are some of the things that we're bringing back to our community through our program of Jubilee Arts that I think really ties into that legacy of what used to be present on Pennsylvania Avenue with the arts and entertainment.
My name is Amelia Harris, and I'm considered one of the co-founders of the organization. When we first started here back in the late 90s, most of the houses and the buildings were vacant. And it really looked like it was not livable. We call it Resurrection Intersection now, where before there was death, drug selling, and prostitution. And slowly, one corner at a time, life began to raise up all over the place, and it's just been a miracle. I can go back to, I'll say, my teenage years, and Pennsylvania Avenue was the mecca. It was the hub for all of our African-American singers and dancers and jazz musicians. And I wasn't allowed over here, but I had an aunt that would come. And really, if you know, being in the neighborhood I was from, so if I came, I would sneak just to get an opportunity to see people like Stevie Wonder, James Brown, the Supremes. And I often think back during those times, the Royal Theater. Everybody from everywhere would come, and the Royal would be packed. There would be no seats left unattended, just so we could see the likes of James Brown and the Supremes and Stevie Wonder and Marvin Gaye and some of my other favorite, The Temptations. So that was the place. The Avenue was the place to be. There were lights. There were stores. There were people stopping, talking, and mingling with one another. There was love. You know, that as a teenager, that's what I saw. After the riots, everything began to go down. What was lively now was dead. And, you know, for someone who just came into the community to visit or to sneak in to see what we could see and who we could see, it was hurtful. Because the place where people like my aunt, who was like 5 years older than me, had a place to go, now there wasn't. Now, when I look at, when you bring it to the present day and you see how that life is starting to come back, people understand those that used to live here and sort of moved away, they're starting to come back. They're starting to give back. And they're starting to work and trying to build what was once here. Sometimes I think, will it ever get to the place like it was back in the 50s and 60s? Maybe not. But to at least attempt to get close to it. It'll take on its own way of life. I don't think we'll ever get back what we had in the 60s, but what's happening now is what's going to take place in this 21st century.
My name is Angela Long Addison. I'm the executive director of Martha's Place. A 6 month transitional house for women recovering from substance abuse and including alcohol and homelessness. How I got involved is that I'm a former resident of Martha's Place. I relapsed after 10 years of recovery, and became homeless, went back into treatment, and this was the only door to open up for me. And I did not want to come, only because I didn't want to be on Pennsylvania Avenue. It's known for drugs, prostitution, a whole bunch of negative things. But one of the things I knew is that I needed help. So since that was the only door to open up, I reached out for the help. And so I came and I stayed and I never left. I've been involved with this organization up to this day. I was once a resident, board member, president of the board, and soon after I became the director.
My name is Catherine Davis, and I'm a resident of Martha's Place. I'm a graduate. I came to Martha's Place from prison, and when I was in prison, they told me not to come to Martha's Place because I would be dodging bullets, and drugs was right there on the corner. And I took what God gave to me. I took that God was telling me that's where I needed to be, and that's where I came. And I haven't had to dodge a bullet, and I haven't seen anybody on these corners right here selling drugs. So this community has been really cleaned up. They've done a great job on this corner because I feel really safe to be in Baltimore. That's something to say, you know.
My name is Janet Hawkins. I'm from the Eastern Shore, a little town called Centerville. I came to Baltimore in 08 just to get some clean time. I completed Martha's Place program, which is a very spiritual and uplifting program. And then I became a part-time house manager there. And through God's grace and mercy, I end up being the lead house manager as up till today. Martha's Place, for me, did a transformation in my life. These four corners are my home. I consider them my four corners. You know, I do whatever's asked of me to do in this community. Just being able to mingle with the under-resourced, being able to hug someone that might need a hug, or smile at someone, and that's all they need is a smile, you know, to give back what was given to me.
I'm grateful, so thankful, to be in the land of the living. I'm grateful.
You look out from here on the third floor of the Harris Market Center at 1947 Pennsylvania Avenue, and for us to be able to overlook these gardens, these renovated homes, the beautiful fountain across the street, it represents quite a transformation from a little over 10 years ago when it was all abandoned and vacant and open air drug markets. But then you still got little hints and reminders of the work that's yet to be done. If you look at the far end of the Upton Park there with the fountain, you see two buildings that are completely hollowed out and just shells. There was actually four there not so long ago, and then it had deteriorated so poorly that the end unit fell down, collapsed. So it is a reminder that we have yet a lot of work to do.
Voices from the corner of historic Pennsylvania Avenue and Prestman Street at the Harris Marcus Center in Baltimore's Sandtown-Winchester neighborhood. The center is headquarters for the Martha's Place Women's Recovery Program, Jubilee Arts, and Newborn Holistic Ministries. Links to all of the above are at our Facebook page, Signal Radio Baltimore. You're listening to The Signal, an original production of Your Public Radio. A little music here from Todd Marcus and his orchestra as we get ready to head into the next segment of our program. When The Signal continues, Todd Marcus takes a break from his work on Pennsylvania Avenue and joins us here in studio to share in a conversation with jazz luminary Benny Maupin. He's played with Miles Davis, Freddie Hubbard, and Herbie Hancock, and after 35 years, he's finally on his way back to Baltimore. Stay with us. Thank you. Welcome back to The Signal. I'm Andy Bienstock. Benny Maupin was part of Baltimore jazz history back in the 1960s. He performed here extensively with the city's Left Bank Jazz Society and the bands of Horace Silver, Freddie Hubbard, Lee Morgan, and Herbie Hancock. It's been more than 35 years now since Mr. Maupin has seen Baltimore, but he's finally on his way back thanks to an invitation from local bass clarinetist and bandleader Todd Marcus. The Signal's Aaron Henkin is here in studio this week with Todd Marcus, and they're also connected with Benny Maupin, who's on the phone from his studio in Altadena, California.
Todd Marcus of the Todd Marcus Jazz Orchestra. First of all, welcome to you, sir.
Thank you very much.
And Mr. Benny Maupin on the line from across the country. Thank you very much for being with us this week.
Oh, thank you.
So we're going to talk in just a few minutes about this upcoming show that the two of you are going to do together at the Creative Alliance. And, of course, we're going to touch on this rather rare musical bond that you two share as fellow bass clarinetists. But first, Mr. Maupin, take us back in time, as best you can remember, to 1960s Baltimore and the Left Bank Jazz Society. What was going on here back then? What was the scene like?
It was a really healthy scene for the music because so much music was going through Baltimore at that time. Everything is always based on just how the economic climate is. And during those years, things were considerably better for a lot of people, especially people who loved the music. So they came out and they supported the groups that I came there with, you know, Horace Silver and Freddie and Lee and Herbie. And then there were a lot of our friends who came in other bands. I mean, it was always bands coming around, which was really good for the guys who lived in New York because we just drove down and we played there. And I never left with a bad memory.
And this was a major stop, Baltimore, on the on the circuit, right? You were right in between D.C. and New York, so we got the big talent coming through town.
Exactly. Everybody came through there.
And Mr. Maupin, you were coming down here at the time from New York City?
Yes, that's where I lived. I lived in New York. I moved from Detroit in 1962 to New York City.
Talk a little bit more about your background. Is it true that you first came through New York as a member of the Motown band, the Four Tops?
That's true, yeah. I was working with the Four Tops, like, during the summer vacation around this time of year, maybe a little bit later, and I just finished going to the Detroit Institute of Musical Art, taking, you know, classes and everything, and I got a call for an audition because someone's sister heard me playing, and it went like that, and so I got a job, and I was actually hired by Johnny Griffin, not the saxophonist, but the pianist from Detroit. And he was the music director of the group that did most of those tracks on Motown. And that ended up being, the major change in my life because first time I was in New York by myself was because we had days off. And so I discovered at a very famous club called the Five Spot that Thelonious Monk was going to be playing that night. So I went there, and that's when I decided, you know, as I was sitting there, I decided that night that I was going to live in New York.
So you told the guys on the Four Tops, this is it, I've got a new calling, I belong in New York City, and I've got, it's time for me to head in a different direction.
Well, I just told them, you know, well, they were curious. See, they had been in New York many times, because this group is really a popular group for a very long while. So the first question was, how did you like New York? And I said, I love New York. I love New York so much, I'm going to live here. I want to work with you 2 more weeks. And then I'm leaving. I'm going to live here. And they were just kind of shocked. And that's what I did.
So, Mr. Maupin, tell me about how that progression happened then. Once you installed yourself in New York, you had seen Monk play. You were inspired by it. How did you go from being in the Four Tops to playing jazz with the likes of, you know, Miles Davis and Herbie Hancock?
Well, I'll tell you. You know, I come from Detroit. And the tradition in Detroit is a blues place. And jazz has its roots in the blues. And as a consequence, I think so many musicians from Detroit have been able to do quite well and become very prominent voices in the music. But I just grew up having an opportunity to hear everybody. It's all about exposure. See, I got to meet everybody in Detroit before I even moved to New York because they came to Detroit to play. And when they did, I was always front and center asking them some questions and getting to know them and just telling them what I was doing and asking for directions sometimes. And I got it.
And you were a valuable player to get into a group because you you had a really strong foundation. You knew your basics.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in Detroit, you had to play all the standard tunes. There was no jiving around. You had to know the tunes. You had to be able to play them quite well. You needed to know the scales and the chords. Otherwise, you just weren't going to work.
You also have got like a veritable arsenal of woodwind instruments that you're capable of choosing from. You play, if I'm not mistaken, clarinet, saxophone, flute, and I guess of particular note for this conversation, the bass clarinet.
Yeah, I play the bass clarinet, the tenor and soprano saxophones, and the alto flute. Those are the ones that I concentrate on now because they suit my purposes, you know, for my music.
I want to play a bit of a composition of yours called Message to Prez. And as I do, let me ask you to maybe say a few words about this instrument, the bass clarinet. What's special about its sound and what draws you to it?
Every instrument has its character. And I think, you know, the bass clarinet character is very unique in that the bass clarinet is made out of wood. So it's really alive in the truest way. That wood is alive. And I think that no two people sound the same on it. And it's capable of doing all sorts of things.
Benny Maupin on bass clarinet in an original composition called Message to Prez. From WYPR in Baltimore, this is The Signal. I'm Aaron Henkin. Mr. Maupin is on the phone with us from his studio in California, and joining us here in this studio at WYPR is the man who's bringing Benny Maupin back here to Baltimore after 35 years, Todd Marcus, a fellow bass clarinetist and leader of the Todd Marcus Orchestra. And Todd, tell me what's special to you about Benny Maupin and how the two of you crossed paths and how you decided to do this upcoming show together.
Well, for me as a bass clarinetist, there are not a lot of examples in jazz to see this instrument used. And so anytime I think you have a small community of anything, you find yourself really wanting to seek out those that have come before and really set the standards. So for me, one of the finest folks on the instrument is Mr. Maupin. And I got a chance to first meet him back in 2005 when there was this international bass clarinet convention in Holland, and he was performing out there as one of the featured performances. I had one of the smaller side performances, but it was my first chance to see him and meet him in person. And then this past fall, he was at in D.C. at Bohemian Caverns, and so it was a chance to reconnect and talk a little bit. And, you know, for me, this is a chance to have a rare time to be able to talk to someone that has been a leader on this instrument, and I have just tremendous respect for what he's done and made possible for someone like myself coming, you know, after on the instrument. So it's really meaningful to me to bring him to town.
Well, Todd Marcus, I know you're looking forward to playing music with Benny Maupin here at the end of the month in Baltimore, and I know you've obviously got a respect and curiosity about his life, his career. Let me turn the mic over to you and give you a chance to ask Mr. Maupin about, you know, the then and now of jazz.
Well, I guess, Mr. Maupin, I would love just to get your take on kind of how you see things from when you were starting out and just with the change and challenges in keeping the music alive, and just how you feel about things now versus maybe years ago, like when you were coming to Baltimore and just all the, I mean, I know you still stay busy worldwide, but I kind of find like it's a challenge as a younger guy coming up now. There's fewer opportunities, and so I'm just interested in your take on the then and the now as a musician.
Well, everything is cyclic, and you know, this tradition that we are so much a part of is, no matter what, it's still an oral tradition. And what I see for young musicians today, it's really a great challenge to actually be in situations so that they can play with the master musicians. My generation, I think, was the last, because Dizzy was alive, Miles was alive. I mean, we had the opportunity to be, you know, with Horace Silver, or you might be able to work with Miles, you might be able to work with Art Blakey. It was schools going on, basically, all at the same time. And everybody had an opportunity to get something going, you know, just depending on how much business you could take care of. Those things don't exist anymore. It's a different time now.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope that my helping you, my coming there is going to, you know, attract people who know me to you. You know, we introduce each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to share a lot once I get down there.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk some more. I'll let it be like that for the moment, because I know they got a limit. But I can't tell you how much it's for me just to get a chance for us to talk and to hear, you know, the things and encouragements you're giving. It means a lot to me. So I'm looking forward to spending more time in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Todd Marcus and Benny Maupin, our guests this week here on The Signal. Mr. Maupin is on his way back to perform in Baltimore after more than three decades at the end of this month. He's going to be joining Todd Marcus and the Todd Marcus Jazz Orchestra on Saturday night, May 26th. That's happening at the Creative Alliance, the address 3134 Eastern Avenue, and you can find details online at creativealliance.org. Todd Marcus, thank you very much for bringing Mr. Maupin back here to Baltimore.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
And Benny Maupin, thank you for making the return trip. We'll see you soon.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited about it. I'll see you there.
You're listening to The Signal, an original production of Your Public Radio in Baltimore. Still ahead, the daughter of artist Amalie Rothschild reflects on her mother's extraordinary life and legacy, right after the break.